Blog Talk Radio.
Prophecy at the Midnight Hour. This is Pastor Lou of the Maryland Altar, broadcasting out of Rockville, Maryland, a suburb of our nation's capital, Washington, D.C., the United States Capitol. This is an update to the urgent, tremendous judgment coming to the United States of America. This is an update to the program that we ran on Wednesday. It ran Wednesday, July 17th, which is part one. I highly recommend listening to that archive where we had firsthand witness and testimony to what it is like when judgment of the Lord befalls a nation, and to be a firsthand witness of that and experience the judgment of the Lord and the wrath of the Lord on the nation that you call home. And in there you will hear from Pastor Mary Otieno, Pastor James Ngugi, when the judgment of the Lord fell upon the land of Kenya. And they did not heed the call to national repentance, to gather as one man before the Lord and repent. And now the word of the Lord has gone out surely, certainly, and succinctly to the United States of America. That tremendous judgment is coming to the United States of America if the church in the United States does not repent and return to the Lord. If the United States does not gather as one man before the Lord and repentance and return from her wicked ways, in the ways of unrighteousness, in the ways of deceit, and the sins that she has heaped up into heaven, and return back to the Lord, to walk in agreement with the Lord, to walk in righteousness, and to walk with the Lord in holiness and in agreement with Him. To repent means to change one's mind. And the fruit of repentance that we see in the Gospels, where John wasn't fooling around when he rebuked the Pharisees and said, "Who warned you, brood of vipers? Show fruit meet unto repentance." And so, in other words, it's one thing to say that you've repented. It's quite another to show the fruit of that repentance. So if one is an alcoholic and repents, that means one has stopped drinking. If one has a foul mouth and repents, that means one has sworn off the swearing and the cursing. If one is a binger and it goes on, a liar, one stops lying. If one is greedy and gluttonous, one becomes temperate and modest. this is the fruit of repentance. We have many scriptures to go through this evening at the prophecy at the midnight hour for an update for the tremendous judgment coming to the United States of America. This is no joke. It's not a commercialized ploy. We take no offering, no funding, no spam, no love offerings, no fooling for sharing the word of the Lord. For the Lord says, freely we have received, therefore freely we give. Since the work is the Lord's, for the children of the Lord takes care of his own and takes care of his work very, very faithfully. So the tremendous judgment coming to the United States of America, originally prophesied Tuesday, July 16th, 2013. Today is Sunday, July 21st, about 25 minutes before the midnight hour East Coast time. It's 11:35 p.m. We'll take it from the very top and start with a very critical scripture, one that is not read often at all in the house of the Lord in the United States, because the house of the Lord has collapsed in the United States of America. And there has indeed been the Amos 8:11 famine in the land, not a famine of food and water, but a famine of hearing the word of the Lord. And tonight we will hear the word of the Lord in an update to the tremendous judgment coming to the United States of America. If America does not repent, if the church in the United States does not take the Lord seriously. And again, I do encourage everyone to go back to the last broadcast to what happens when a nation takes lightly the call of the Lord, the command to repent. Not only was it the sovereign nation of Kenya, we saw the disaster and the flooding in India where thousands died. We saw a 500-year flood in Europe and cities that had no idea they were even flood-prone or risk to it, and untold damage throughout the land of Europe. We've had judgment across the globe, and the United States has been almost entirely spared until now. But the good news is that the portals of heaven are open, that the dispensation of grace is here and now for the United States to return unto the Lord. And for all those that have backslidden, and even for those that this may be the first time that they've been introduced to the living God, to the saving grace of who Jesus Christ really is, there'll be an opportunity to repent as well. So let's start with Lamentations chapter 2, verse 14. We will read Lamentations chapter 2, verse 14. And again, as a reminder, most will have difficulty finding the book of Lamentations, since it's not a prosperity gospel scripture, not very popular, if at all, read in the house of the Lord in the United States of America. You will find it immediately after the book of Jeremiah. Lamentations chapter 2, verse 14. Your prophets have seen for you false and foolish visions, and they have not exposed your iniquity so as to restore you from captivity, but they have seen for you false and misleading oracles. Lamentations chapter 2, verse 14. Your prophets, United States prophets, are all false and lying prophets. And we have seen that with the apostles as well. They are all false and lying apostles in the United States of America. There are no apostles in the United States of America, for if there were, the United States would have been in repentance long ago, and we would not be hearing from the Lord that tremendous judgment is coming to the land. No, we wouldn't be hearing that if we had a real apostle, just one, in the United States of America, and if we had one prophet in the United States of America as well. But they are lying prophets and lying false apostles, and they have seen false and foolish visions. Verse 14, and here's how you will know, and the Lord gives us the very definition of the lying false prophet and the lying false apostle and false teachers and false pastors all throughout the land of the United States of America. For they have not exposed your iniquity so as to restore you from captivity. In other words, they have not brought the holiness and the righteousness of the Lord into the house of God, these false pastors, false apostles, and prophets. They didn't do the job because they're not able to do the job because they're lying. Whereas the prophet of the Lord, the apostle of the Lord, they will expose iniquity. They will expose sin. That's what the Holy Spirit does, the spirit of conviction. The Holy Spirit opens our spiritual ears to hear and our spiritual eyes to see when we have idols in the fibers of our heart, as an example, to see when we have gone astray and wandered from the word of the Lord. When the Lord sends his prophets, they will point out and rebuke sin and expose the sin in the church, in the house of God, and in the land. And continuing, Lamentations chapter 2, verse 14, and they have not exposed your iniquity so as to restore you from captivity, but they have seen for you false and misleading oracles. And this we know right away, for they're in direct contradiction to what the Lord is speaking. So we can go to church next week if the Lord tarries. I'm sure many went this Sunday and heard many good things, things of the world, the candy gospel, if you will. They heard things of the flesh. They heard the word with fresh and new that the Lord is going to do to meet the wants and desires of the hearts, the fleshly desires, the carnal desires. But they have not exposed the iniquity in the house of the Lord. And so the church has taken another road. She's worshiping another god, a chimera god, one that is part spirit and part flesh. And the church is preaching another gospel, the gospel of the flesh, not of the blood and the cross, just the power to deliver from death to life. Not the blood and the cross is not being preached, which is the power to deliver from addictions and depression and demonic oppression and possession, and all of the evil things that hold the children of the Lord in captivity. For the Lord says, whom the Son sets free is free indeed. So the false prophets in the land have not exposed the iniquity, they cannot, to restore the church from captivity. And we see an entire country, an entire nation, captive to sin, captive to addiction, captive to sexual sin, captive to love of money, captive to homosexuality that has run so rampant and it is so addictive they couldn't break free even if they wanted to. And this is undisputable. And this is happening before our very eyes in the United States of America. This isn't theory, and this isn't speculation. This is an in-your-face reality that we can see on the streets. And we see them in the metro, and it's clearly it's all over in Hollywood, in the magazine, in the wires, and on the internet. One cannot escape it. The nation is held captive to sin, deceit, and all forms of horrific bondage. And sometimes it's even sold as entertainment. That's Lamentations chapter 2, verse 14. Let's take a closer look at captivity. For the church is in captivity, the country is in captivity, and the Lord is speaking judgment is coming, which is out of love. For he wants the United States to return unto the Lord, to walk in agreement with the Lord, not in agreement with the enemy, which is captivity and slavery. Let's turn to John chapter 8, verses 31 through 34. We'll hear the words of Christ himself and how he describes captivity. John chapter 8, Gospel of John, chapter 8, verse 31 through 34. To the Jews who had believed in him, Jesus said, "If you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." They answered him, "We are Abraham's descendants and have never been slaves of anyone. How can you say that we shall be set free?" Jesus replied, "Very truly I tell you, everyone who sins is a slave to sin." And again, "Very truly I tell you, everyone who sins is a slave to sin." And so, it's easy to see that we have an entire country in bondage to sin, dragging around thick railroad-type chains, tied to the pit of hell in all forms of addiction, in all forms of deceit and evil practices, and daughters dressed like prostitutes. Today, you cannot even discern if there is a prostitute or if that's just the style and the fashion. They're virtually indistinguishable. And what is worse, when they go to worship in the house of the Lord in many places from coast to coast and border to border, those same prostitutes go into the house of the Lord, but they could be going into a nightclub, they could be going into a disco, or they could be going into a brothel. One cannot tell, based on the immoral dressing, exactly where they are headed to. And that's what the house of the Lord looks like today. For there is no holiness in the house of the Lord. And there is no fear of the Lord in the house of the Lord by those that call themselves by his name. So we shouldn't be surprised to see the heathens and the pagans and the non-believers running around very confused, because at a time when the world needs the light of the church and the righteousness of Christ in a dark world, at just such a time, the lamp in the house of the Lord is entirely extinguished. And she cannot be distinguished between the world and the nightclub and the disco. So we can't really blame the non-believers for little to no interest, because after all, they can get that at any other facility and be much more honest in doing so. That's what Christ described of slaves. That was the very distinct and certain language from Christ. Jesus said, "Everyone who sins is a slave to sin." And I don't know how many of you have ever talked to a prostitute and said, "Oh, I always grew up hoping to be one." Or an alcoholic who grew up and said, "You know, I always wanted to be that alcoholic." Or the drug addict who grew up and said, "I always wanted to be on the streets strung out." Or you name the addiction and the sin, and no one grows up wanting to be that. And thus Christ describes it appropriately. Of course, he would. God in the flesh, who came to visit, came to die and resurrect, whose blood and cross sets us free from sin and death. He says, "Very truly I tell you, everyone who sins is a slave to sin." And for too long, the church has whitewashed sin, compromised the gospel, and have allowed the sheep to graze on poison grass, and have allowed the sheep to go astray because the pastors in the land of the United States, border to border, coast to coast, have also gone astray, preaching money, preaching worldly things, diluting the gospel, not preaching the blood and the cross and the power of the blood and the cross. No, preaching the things of the world so that they can fatten themselves, fatten their wallets and coffers. And it matters not what happens to the sheep. And they've been completely deceived, and they've deceived the house of the Lord at the same time. We'll get into those details a little bit later, but let's go to the prophecy of tremendous judgment coming to the United States of America. We will hear from the prophet of the Lord. We will play the recorded version of the prophecy that was given live July 16th of 2013. That's East Coast time here in the United States. And let's cover a couple of the items that the Lord is pointing out, the sins in the land and the defiling sins in the Church of the United States of America. And the Lord was specific and is speaking specifically today that there is devil worship and evil worship throughout the United States, specifically in secret clubs, Freemasons, and key leadership in the United States business and government. Now also in the house of the Lord. If we look at the United States and we take a look at some of the oldest institutions in the United States of America, the oldest divinity schools, those that were originally chartered to raise up ministers of the gospel, to raise up those that would teach and preach in the house of the Lord, we want to look at the oldest of those institutions. Many of you would be surprised to learn they would go by the name of Harvard and Yale. They were originally chartered as godly schools of ministry and divinity. Today, you can still get a divinity degree and a doctorate degree in divinity from Yale. I'm not certain about Harvard, likely, but I'm not certain about that today. But they were originally chartered for just that purpose. When the United States was founded freedom of speech, and particularly freedom of religious expression, and religious freedom was a very core driver to the establishment of the nation and the Constitution. For there was a time in England, as an example, if you did not have a license to preach, you could be tossed in jail and prison like Mr. Bunyan was, who only wrote the most popular book outside of the Bible in the history of the world. But since he wasn't a licensed preacher, his rhema and revelation the Lord had given him cost him prison time. That's not unusual for an apostle or unusual for a servant of the Lord to suffer poverty, persecution, and imprisonment. So the forefathers, when they started this nation, wanted freedom of religion and religious expression. And so those two universities, Harvard and Yale, were some of the original founding universities for divinity and biblical studies. Today, there is something known as the Skull and Bones in Harvard and Yale. And these are secret devil-worshipping clubs. That's why they're called Skull and Bones. Doesn't sound like it would be your Sunday school class. No, these are secret clubs that many of the influential leaders in the United States have been participants in. And I believe that gets worse as far as lifetime commitments and lifetime secrecies. But suffice it to say that the founding institutions in the United States, very prestigious too, most people know what Harvard and Yale are as universities, originally founded for the ministration of the gospel, are now home to societies of devil worship. And the Lord, he has taken notice. And the Lord is calling for repentance from Skull and Bones. The Lord is calling for repentance from the secret clubs and the devil worship at Harvard and Yale University in the United States of America. And I want to remind you all that long before Snowden came out recently in the news, contemporary news, that the NSA was spying on many devices throughout the United States, in fact, the whole globe, that the United States was listening in on conversations. But I need to remind the precious listeners, please, everything done in the flesh is visible and documented in the spiritual realm. In other words, there never has been any privacy in the spiritual realm. And those that have been practicing the dark arts and the devil worship in the secret clubs, it's really not secret at all. But it is public domain in the spirit world. Whether the servants of the Lord see, and it's revealed to, but certainly it is seen by the heavenly host, certainly seen also by the demonic. But most horrifying is that now, seen by the sovereign Lord, Jesus said, "Don't fear him who can kill you and then do nothing more." Jesus said, "Fear him after you are dead, can cast your soul into hell." So the secret sins are now revealed to him who can cast your soul into hell. For times gone by, as we read in Acts 17, the Lord would wink at some ignorance. But now he's calling all to repentance. And clearly, the evil worship, the devil worship in the secret clubs. We have Freemasons as well. And this is a very big deal in the United States, right down the road from where I am in Washington, D.C. On the other side of the river is a city called Alexandria. And there is a monstrous temple, a Masonic temple. And it's in Virginia, dedicated to Masonic practices and the Masonic lodges. And the whole area is spiritually confused and spiritually perverse. One of the most spiritually perverse areas in the entire United States that I have been to, and I have been to all four corners of the United States of America. And it is right across the river from Washington, D.C., and you can pick it up whether you're on the Virginia rail line. You can see it, and you can clearly see it from the road that goes into Alexandria, and it's just a monstrous temple dedicated to Masonic practices. And the Lord is seeing that today and calling for repentance for the Masonic worship, which is demonic and against the word of the Lord, and in disagreement, complete and total disagreement with the Lord. We know that there are key leaderships in business and key leadership in government, and unfortunately, even the church, through these secret occult organizations. These are not new to the United States. These are thousands of years old. If anybody ever wondered why it is we have Easter and why it is we have Christmas, these Christian holidays that mimic and follow pagan holidays, it's because they were originally pagan holidays. And from a business perspective, it was good to be involved with the guilds, they thought, and we would bring them in, and since it was everyone's livelihood, you didn't want to exclude the guilds and their pagan holidays. And so they took their Easter fertility holiday and moved it around, and also moved around the Resurrection Sunday, and said, behold, we now have Easter. And they moved around their pagan holidays into the winter solstice, as an example, in the sun worship. And behold, we moved the Day of Christ sometime around December 21st to the 25th, and we have the marriage of the church and the pagans yet again. And so the Masonic practices are very old, again, involved in the businesses and the guilds. This is nothing new. The Lord sees it, and the Lord is calling for repentance. Turn away from the pagan practices. Turn away from the devil worship and the altars of the demonic that are dedicated to Satan, and return to the Lord. That's what repentance is, to change our mind and say, oh, the demonic have put me in chains and bondage, and I've become a slave to sin. That's what Christ says, is to be in agreement with Christ. But to turn away from that and to return to the Lord is sure enough to be set free, to be free from the sin. If we hold to the teaching that Christ commanded, that you really are my disciples, and he says, then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Anyone who sins is a slave to sin. So we have seen that the Masons here in the United States are clearly enslaved to sin. And the Lord is calling for repentance, and the Lord now sees that in the United States. So that includes Harvard, and that includes Yale, and that includes the Skull and Bones, and that includes all of the secret societies that are all focused around the pagan, the demonic, and the worshiping of Satan. The Lord has seen the false prophecy, the false prophets, the false apostles, and the false teachers that have polluted and defiled the land in the United States of America, where the church has reached such a point that, as Christ prophesied, surely there is no stone left upon another. And it's hard to believe that a nation that was at one time an exporter of righteous missionaries, that was at one time an exporter of the great gospel, the good news of the coming of the Messiah, of repentance from sin, of returning unto the Lord, a country that once proclaimed righteousness and holiness, a country that was so righteous that it was so easy to do business because, well, you knew that there was integrity. Is trust not the foundation of every business transaction? That's the legacy that the United States has inherited from her forefathers. And it's hard to believe we have gone from there all the way to complete and total corruption. Now you do no business at all with an attorney because it's assumed that if you go into a business, any transaction, it can be gamed, lied, cheated, or stolen from, and the person can be gamed. Well, you will need your attorney to back you up on that. We even see the church and the house of the Lord, doing the exact same thing. For integrity, righteousness has vanished. We can see this, too, in the faith in the institutions. So when even the pagans and the heathen walk by the house of the Lord, they know there's no righteousness there. And if you were to ask around, and what do you think of the latest poll on political leaders A, B, and C, name your institution, it doesn't really matter. And the thinking of the prevailing population is, you know, well, it's slightly above zero, but getting close to negative. You know you're at the bottom for a nation that was at one time a bastion of righteousness, a nation where ministers of fire would preach righteousness, where at one time people would sin and they would blush when found out. But today, we've said it before, the church is so dead, she doesn't even have enough blood in her to blush anymore. False teachers have run wild in the United States of America, and they have preached the gospel of prosperity. They have preached the gospel of do what you want and carry your gospel as an insurance policy, a diluted gospel. And they're preaching, obtaining, procuring, and receiving your heart's desire. Whatever that is, money, job, health, wife, husband, and in and of themselves, we know not one of those things are wicked. But preaching of the heart's desire, where the heart is, as we read in Jeremiah and see throughout the scripture, the heart is deceitfully wicked above all else. And we have ministers that are on TBN and the radio and the internet and the wires preaching a diluted gospel, the Matthew 4 gospel of the devil, where they'll quote many scriptures, and the tail end scorpion sting for your heart's desire. And don't we know that our heart's desire is to be aligned with the Lord's heart's desire? And the Lord says that he wants the children of the Lord to enter into the kingdom of God. That's what it's about. Entry into heaven. That's why Christ came and died and resurrected again. That's the power of the blood and the cross to defeat sin, bondage, and death, to enter into heaven with the glorious Revelation 19:8, garment of the Lord, the garment of righteousness. That's the Lord's heart's desire. That should also be the heart's desire of anyone that calls upon the name of the Lord. And also to pick up our cross and follow Christ. This is what the Holy Spirit does. The Holy Spirit places upon our heart to pick up our cross and follow Christ. because it's not something the flesh will do on her own volition. We all know that. The flesh on its own volition will go in sin in its fallen nature. But the Holy Spirit leads us to the cross. It's the Holy Spirit that reveals Christ to us, the crucified and resurrected Christ to us. That's the entryway into heaven. For the blood in the cross covers our sin and iniquity. It enables us to not only cover our past sins, but to be overcomers of sins by the power of the blood of the Lamb. And now we see tremendous judgment coming to the United States because the church has taught something entirely different. She's taught that the Lord has tolerance to sin, that the Lord will tolerate sin. But I want to remind you that the Lord is holy, holy, righteous, righteous, zero tolerance to sin. And while the church has fallen and taught another gospel, our Lord is still holy, holy, righteous, righteous, and zero tolerance to sin. For sin, we just heard from the Messiah himself, leads us into bondage and captivity. It is not the Lord's will for the children of the Lord. That is not the Lord's will for the precious end-time saints. That is not the Lord's will that the United States of America be in bondage and captive to sin. This isn't something that even needs to be explained. For when you look at the homes, everybody can look around and say, oh, Pastor Lou, yeah, there's a video game addiction in the house. Yes, we're addicted to videos here. We're addicted to movies over there. We're corpulent and addicted to food, and it doesn't satisfy. I have a husband and a spouse who's addicted to money, and no matter how much we make, we're not satisfied. But when we're addicted to sex, and it doesn't satisfy, and pornography, and masturbation, and it goes on and on, for sin is slavery. And it is not the Lord's will. And he's provided a solution. And that solution is to repent from sin, to turn away, trust in the Lord, to not go back to sin, overcome that sin by the power of the blood and the power of the cross and the mighty Holy Spirit. Because it is not something that the flesh is able to do. And as we read in Galatians, who hath bewitched you? Will you complete in the flesh that which was begun in the spirit? And we see that the church today has gone totally carnal and wondered why it is she's in such bondage. Because she cannot complete the job in the flesh. It must be completed by the power of the Holy Spirit, that we must be in agreement with the Lord, walk with the Lord, centralize, focus upon, worship the mighty Holy Spirit, whose job it is to lead us to the cross, whose job it is to prepare us for heaven. He's the weaver, the great weaver of the garment of the Lord. He is known as our comforter. He is known as our counselor. He is the wisdom of God. But the church has gone over to false prophets, false apostles, and false teachers. And she's hearing from another spirit entirely. So open your Bibles again, and we will turn to Galatians chapter 5, just two verses in Galatians 19 through 21. This is Galatians chapter 5, verses 19 through 21. And there we will get a good account of exactly what the church is doing and where the false pastors and false apostles and false prophets have led the house of the Lord. And you will see a description of the United States of America. And it will be clear why it is that tremendous judgment is coming to the United States if she does not repent, gather together as one man. Galatians chapter 5, verses 19 through 21. Now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery. We could stop there, just there. We won't go any further. There's still two more verses to go, and it looks like about, 30 words or so. And if we stopped right there at adultery, we have fornication, adultery, marital adultery, and spiritual adultery throughout the Church of God in the United States of America and throughout the land in the United States of America. And we have many euphemisms for it. You know, we use language such as affair. We use language such as had a slip up. We use language such as, oh, it was just a bad night. We use all sorts of language for it. And that's if they're making an excuse for it and they have any shame at all. The rest of the church is thinking nothing of when they have a higher divorce rate than even the pagan world, than even the heathen. And in the church, adultery is practiced all of the time. And the sin is rarely ever pointed out, if they do. And if it were, about 60% would likely get up and walk out. So we have a church in the United States which is very tolerant to sin. The Lord is not. Christ was not. The Holy Spirit is not, which is why he is holy. And if we just stop at that one word, adultery, we will see that it is pandemic in the United States of America, coast to coast and border to border. And so, of course, the rest of the world, those that look for a righteous standard, those that are looking for a moral standard, won't find it in the house of the Lord. What they'll find is adultery. And next we have fornication. Yet again, in the United States, we have fornication, just as we have adultery. And it's gone down to the very, very young. And it goes by a number of different names and euphemisms again. There's sexual freedom, and there's sexual education, and there's expression. But it's fornication. That's what the Lord is calling it outright. It's fornication, another form of idolatry. And it, too, is horrific bondage. We have a sex industry and a pornography industry that is absolutely over the top. It's so bad that on Saturday nights it's hard to get an internet connection. For those of you wondering why we don't even broadcast on a Saturday night, the pornographers take over the airwaves and the network, and it comes to a screeching halt because the whole land in the United States of America is fornicating. Uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry. We could stop there and discuss the love of money and the love of automobiles and real estate and power and prestige and status. The idolatry, we have shows called American Idol. We have computers that we idolize. We have children that we idolize, husbands and wives that we idolize, success, achievement, accomplishment. All these things that we have idolized in the United States, power and prestige. Sorcery. And again, as we just read earlier at the top, the Lord is calling for repentance from sorcery. The Lord is calling for repentance from idolatry. We have next the hatred and contentions. Today we have contentions broadcast throughout the news channels, and I believe Fox, as an example, makes an enormous amount of their revenue just based on a couple of people shouting back and forth and continuing and arguing their point of view versus another point of view. And unfortunately, many Christians participate in that, even though it is sin, it is unproductive, it is ungodly, and it is unholy and accomplishes nothing. They say, no, that's open to debate, or as the polemicists would like to say, no, that's the rhetoric of our day. And really, it's not, because it's tied into juicy gossip. It is not edifying. It solves nothing. And it's nothing more than entertainment or infotainment. Just throw the TV out, save yourself the sin and the cable bill. You'll be doing very well. Hatred is, again, also a pandemic in the United States. And we have racial hatred. And we have hatred of women. And we have a hatred of children. And we have a hatred of fathers. And we have a hatred of husbands. And you see that by the way that the husbands are portrayed throughout in the media. And clearly we hate the women because we dress them all up like prostitutes and think nothing of them as human beings, but just as sex blobs, and that's pretty much how they're portrayed in the wires as well. It's very embarrassing because it's also in the house of the Lord, and they are practicing it, they are parading it, and it has gone viral throughout the United States of America. And we're only on line two of two verses, and already we can see that the judgment that is coming to the house of the Lord, with the judgment that's coming to the entire land in the United States of America, is very, very well warranted. And we have much to repent of in the United States. And the false prophets have not pointed out the iniquity and the sin so that the church can repent. But we have the incorruptible, sure word of the sovereign Lord. We have the word of the mighty prophet who speaks for God. We have the incorruptible word of God. And Jesus said, heaven and earth will pass away, but his word will not pass away. And so here we go with next, jealousies. We have a phrase in the United States called keeping up with the Joneses. We have television shows and movies based on jealousies as well. And we know that jealousy and envy were the first murders on planet Earth. For when Abel was slain, Cain was envious that his gift was accepted, and Cain's gift was not. Outbursts of wrath. And we see this in language and in violence. When a country is hateful and in contentions, and she's jealous, outburst of wrath is a natural manifestation of that bondage. And again, we can see that thickly coupled chain of slavery that has enslaved and bound up the United States of America in sin. Selfish ambitions, and we don't need to go much further here. We are taught from a very young age to just have such a thing. And the house of the Lord has collapsed and left the Lord out of the picture, has left heaven out of the picture. And now what they preach in the house of God is you can have heaven right here on earth. And they teach blasphemy. They teach selfish ambitions, your heart's desire. I wouldn't have believed it myself if I didn't turn on my radio and actually hear some of the most prominent ministers in the United States preach just that. That you can have your selfish ambitions fulfilled. Forget about the Lord's mission for you, which is to enter into the kingdom of God, to enter into heaven and to pick up your cross and follow him. No, you might want a new wife, a new job, a new husband, a new car, a new career. You might want to get promoted in this temporary career that you can take nothing into this world and you can take nothing out. But for whatever reason, the bondage of sin, the deception, the blindness, and the church has been focused on the temporal things, and the Lord is blowing the temporal things right out of the water, right before our very eyes. So moving on, and we will get to verse 21. Dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, envy and murders flowing right after one another, as we just described in Cain and Abel, drunkenness, revelries, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. So let's read that one more time, because the children of the Lord in the United States, the whole land has been deceived. I tell you beforehand, that means this is a repeat. Just as I also told you in time past, that means this is a threepeat. Those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. That means they inherit another kingdom. That means they enter death and enter hell for eternity. Now we know why. Now it should be clear why the Lord's heart desire for us is to enter the kingdom of God, and why it is that the Lord's heart desire for us is to pick up our cross and follow Christ daily, every day, fresh and anew. Not for 30, 50, 90, 100 years out, because no man knows what a day brings. We know for sure that's true. And we don't know the day or the hour of the coming of the Messiah. And even more, Jesus underscored clearly, sufficient unto the day is evil thereof. In other words, don't add any more burden to your life, to a life that's already relatively burdensome, given the darkness of the hour, especially at such a time as today, where tremendous judgment is looming from the Lord for the United States of America if she does not repent. So let's read through one more time so that it's clear that these are the sins and iniquity that need to be repented of in the United States of America. In the house of the Lord, in the children of the Lord, in the pastors, in the teachers, in our own homes as well. Otherwise, the church does not enter. And those that call upon the name of the Lord, according to Paul, he's repeating this. This is the word of the Lord by the power of the mighty Holy Spirit, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like. That's Galatians 5, 19 through 21. And some believers that are coming along and beginning to repent oftentimes view that as, well, that's a baseball bat. That covers just about everyone, if not everyone. But the truth of the matter is, as we read in Isaiah, we would all be blotted out, but for the Lord's namesake. In other words, we all need to repent. This is the command, not the suggestion, not the idea, not an alternative. No, it's the command of the Lord that we all need to repent. For there are many out there, and that they're not in the drunkenness, revelry, smoking, drinking clown. They're thinking, we don't need to repent. No, we don't need to repent at all. And so they have ignored, oh, the selfish ambitions in the heart. They have ignored the fact that they are jealous and they aspire to a higher position. The Lord says they're not entering either. And the hatred and contentions and idolatry, they're not entering either. So it's not so much a baseball bat. Precious children of the Lord, this is the standard of our holy God. This is the New Testament, which is consistent with the Old Testament. Of course, it would be. It is the word of the Lord, and it's the same God. The church has taught a different chimera God, one who is tolerant of sin. And as we just read in Galatians 5, 19 through 21, he is not tolerant at all. Those that do these things and do not repent will not inherit the kingdom of God. Let's continue with the false prophets, false apostles, and false teachers. And we will go to Romans chapter 6 and Leviticus as well. And before we do, let's hear the prophecy of the tremendous judgment coming to the United States. And the Lord is calling the United States of America to national repentance, to gather as one man and repent before the Lord, to turn away from our sin and iniquity, to return to righteousness and holiness, and to walk in agreement with the Lord. This is judgment coming to the USA, prophesied July 16th, 2013. And this is the first time I've run this live in the studio, so let's see how it goes.
Praise the Lord, Prophet of the Lord.
Amen, Pastor Joanne. Praise the Lord, Pastor Joanne. The Lord has spoken with me today. In this cycle, the last cycle of 24 hours, the Lord has spoken with me about a very, very important event and a very important occurrence that is about to take place on the earth. In these past few weeks and months, the Lord has been speaking with me very, very tremendously about the nations in a very systematic and a very sequential way. And in those conversations, the Lord began by speaking about Botswana. And then the Lord spoke about Mexico. And the Lord spoke about Nigeria. And the Lord indeed did speak about Europe. And you saw the big flood that came over to Europe. And then earlier on 2011, he had spoken too about India, Russia recently, and many other conversations. But in the past 24 hours, the Lord Jehovah El Gibor, the mighty God of Israel, he has spoken with me about the tremendous judgment of the Lord that is coming to visit the earth. And in that conversation, the Lord, he lifted me up and he took me to the nation of the United States of America. Finally, the Lord took me to the United States of America in that mighty, mighty dream. And he showed me the defilement in the land, tremendous defilement in the land of the United States of America. Key among them, he showed me evil worship, devil worship, And the Lord said they belong to a secret club. So I saw a lot of people that belong to this devil worship club. So I think it's the Freemason club. And the Lord also showed me how they have key positions in leadership, in places, in business, and all over. And then the Lord showed me also other ills in the land, the wickedness in the land. And key among the things the Lord highlighted was the fall in the church in the United States of America. And again, finally the Lord, again, once more has spoken with me about the United States of America, about the tremendous judgment of Jehovah, the judgment of the Lord that is coming to the United States of America. And in the church, the Lord showed me in that dream the false prophets in the United States of America, the false apostles doing their thing, the false evangelists, false pastors, false teachers, the unimaginable level of falsehood that has entered into the Church of Christ in the United States of America. And yes, it is true that the church in the USA is largely, if not entirely now, an apostate church, a fallen church, a church that is undergoing apostasy, a church that has taken another road. The highway of holiness is here, and they have detoured and taken another road. And that's why this time around, finally, the moment has arrived for the Lord to speak about the church and the condition of the church, the condition of the land, owing to the condition of the church in the United States of America. And in this conversation, the Lord, he took me to the United States of America, the USA, and he showed me devil worshipping going on, the so-called Freemason or secret clubs or societies, so to say. He also showed me the false preachings, the gospel of money and deception, selling the blood of Jesus. He showed me tremendous immorality in the land, beginning from the church and at the pulpit. And then he showed me the near witchcraft practice at the pulpit, where every single pastor, every single shepherd is clamoring for money. The Lord has shown me the wickedness in the land of the United States of America. And then in that dream, all of a sudden he asked me, please pass judgment unto this land. And when I did that in that dream, all of a sudden, I saw a lot of flies that came, tremendous number of billions, trillions, I don't know how many flies covered me all over, covering the whole land of the United States of America. Black flies. Again, a lot of flies came and covered the whole land. And for those of you who know how the Lord speaks, that is one of the ways in which the Lord expresses and demonstrates his judgment that is coming to a place. And so I have seen the tremendous judgment of the Lord coming to the United States of America. And yet the Lord Jehovah is such a just God, he's a faithful God, that if at any time he announces that a nation, according to the book of Jeremiah chapter 18, and he says if at any time he announces a judgment coming over a nation, destruction coming over a nation, demolition, the judgment of Jehovah, destruction, the wrath of God, if at any time Jehovah announces the wrath that is coming unto a land, And if those people will faithfully repent and turn away from that wickedness that has brought about judgment over them, then the Lord says in Jeremiah 18, He says, He shall be faithful enough to relent, not to judge them. Kenya is one case in time when recently the Lord had spoken from 2011 all the way to 2012 and 13 that blood would flow in Kenya during the elections. But when the nation of Kenya gathered as one man and repented before the Lord with their leaders, the current leadership and all the other leaders, when they gathered as one man and repented on that day before the Lord, February 24th, 2013, then Kenya had peaceful elections. Then the Lord relented. And in the same context, God is saying that this is a command, this is a trumpet to the United States of America, that the time to turn away from sin and prepare for the coming of the Messiah is now. The time to observe a national repentance in the USA is now. It is not tomorrow. Because now the Lord has spoken. He has rebuked the falsehood in the church. The liars who are harvesting money in the church. The gospel of private aeroplanes, the gospel of immorality, the gospel of prosperity in the USA. The Lord has now commanded repentance in the United States of America. I am reminded here of the prophecy I gave 2007 when I spoke about the coming of the tremendous flood in New Orleans and the massive devastation that took place when they failed to repent. I don't know what form of judgment this will be, but I've seen the tremendous flies that covered me, and the Lord took me all over all the state, and a lot of trillions of flies all over everywhere, black flies. I was running for my life also. The judgment of the Lord is coming to the land. The Lord is asking for repentance that he may not judge. The Bible in the book of Psalms, Psalm 119, verse 137. Again, Psalm 119, verse 137. He says, righteous art thou, O Lord, and upright are thy judgments. He says, righteous art thou, O Lord, and upright are thy judgments. Meaning the judgments of the Lord are righteous. The Lord is just and righteous in his judgment. Right now he has spoken about Nigeria. The judgment of the Lord is coming to Nigeria for the same wickedness, same sin in the church, that the church may now repent, turn away from sin, and once more become salt of the nation, the light of the world. The world is clamoring, crying, craving, running around, looking for solution, but the church is fallen. The light of the world, that is the church, is now apostate. And that's why now the Lord is awakening the church. He says, thy judgments are righteous. The righteousness of the Lord must now be established. The judgment coming to Botswana, the judgment coming to Mexico, the judgment coming to Nigeria. I spoke to Russia before the earthquake struck from here and also from Amsterdam. I spoke to Europe when I said the floods are coming.
when I was at Vienna in Austria, and look what happened, the devastation in Europe. And it was historic, never seen in 500 years. I spoke to India from Hyderabad. I said, the floods are coming. Look, more than 5,000 have died. They're still looking for people. These are the days of the righteous judgment of Jehovah. Repent the nation. Repent. Repent the nation. Listen to me, Christ. Repent. Time is over. Things have changed. I have seen the judgment of the Lord coming. Prepare the way. The Messiah is coming.
Hallelujah. That was Dr. David Awar, the Lord's end time servant, the Lord's bond servant, the mighty prophet. The Lord is sharing with the church in the United States of America and the whole land, as I was sharing earlier, admonishing and encouraging the listeners to understand that there is nothing hidden anymore. It really never was. Those that thought they were escaping away with their secret sins, all that we do in the natural is visible in the supernatural. The Lord is commanding national repentance in the United States of America. And I want to give the listeners an opportunity to understand what the Bible says, the incorruptible, the imperishable word of the Lord says about repentance, national repentance, and give some scriptures and some background so you can see how the Lord has dealt with his people when they have repented and throughout the history of the church and the people of the Lord. And this isn't a comprehensive, or it's not an exhaustive, I should say. This is not an exhaustive list of national repentance, but it is comprehensive, and it encompasses many, many examples that we have in the Bible. And we know that all scripture is there for our instruction and edification as well, and written by the hand of the mighty Holy Spirit. And so, first off, a very good example of repentance is in Daniel. Daniel chapter 9, starting at verse 3. And there we see Daniel praying and repenting for Israel all the way to verse 19. We have Nehemiah chapter 1, verses 4 through 9. And that's Nehemiah chapter 1, verses 4 through 9. Also Job, where Nehemiah repents for everyone in the nation. We have Job chapter 1, verse 5, where we see Job repenting on behalf of his family. We have Malachi chapter 3, verses 13 through 18. That's Malachi, or Malachi, chapter 3, verses 13 through 18. And here, the Lord sees and hears the mourners, those that are repenting, those that have humbled themselves before the Lord, and we see even their name recorded in the book of life. mighty, mighty scripture. And if time prevails or avails, we'll go through some of these. Next would be the Second Chronicles, chapter 7, verses 14. We all know this one. This is relatively common knowledge throughout the church, even today. Those that are called by my name will humble themselves. The Lord will hear, heal the land. This is Second Chronicles, chapter 7, verse 14. And then there are many, many examples in the New Testament as well. And again, there's a very common thread, there would be, for our Lord. He changes not. And the New Covenant is not a license to sin. The church has been lied to, and the false teachers have lied. And so there's so much grace, the church can sin pretty much all she wants. There's so much grace. They've even removed sin from the house of the Lord and completely compromised. But we know that the Lord has zero tolerance to sin. Holy, holy, righteous, righteous. We have the blood of the Lamb to overcome sin. And we'll see that very shortly. Matthew chapter 3, verse 2. This is the call to personal repentance. Matthew chapter 3, verse 2. Matthew chapter 3, verse 8. The call to show fruit of repentance. That's Matthew chapter 3, verse 8. So you're repenting and this is good, but where is the fruit of that repentance? In other words, you're not allowed to recycle back to sin. You're not allowed to be the pig that returns back to the mire after it has been washed. No, if we've been set free, we don't go back into bondage. This is the call to show fruit of repentance, Matthew chapter 3, verse 8. We have Acts chapter 17, verse 30. All are called to repentance, and ignorance is not an excuse anymore. Certainly not now. The Lord is calling for tremendous judgment against the land of the United States of America if she does not repent. And no one will be able to say, we didn't know, Lord. Revelation chapter 2 and Revelation chapter 3. Five out of the seven churches were called and commanded to repent, or they would not enter the kingdom of God. That's Revelation chapter 2 and Revelation chapter 3. Five out of the seven churches were called and commanded to repent. And here, the Lord Jesus is speaking to the church and says plainly, to him who overcomes. That's the language from the boss, the chief, the Lord of Lords, and the King of Kings. That's the language of our Savior. He says, overcome, and we overcome by the power of the blood of the Lamb, by the cross, and the mighty Holy Spirit. But the church today has been overcome instead by sin. She has allowed it in and has entangled her like quicksand, and has enslaved her, and she has sunk into the mire of sin. She's tolerated sin. The Lord does not, and she's become enslaved to sin. Revelation chapter 2 and Revelation chapter 3 is the New Testament, and it is our Lord and Savior commanding repentance and commanding to him who overcomes. And again, we overcome not by our flesh, but by the cross and the blood, which the church has diluted and the gospel message has been corrupted and entirely. And it looks as though today, if you look around, we need another Messiah to deliver the church, another Messiah to deliver the world. For the church is no longer the bright light. It's hard to point a finger at any leader in the secular world when the church herself has totally collapsed in a moral laughing stock, not the righteous standard in the land. In fact, she's almost become the poster child of what not to be, from both hypocrisy and sexual sin, and love of money and love of business in the house of the Lord. These scriptures, Daniel 9, verses 3 through 17, Nehemiah chapter 1, Job, Malachi, 2 Chronicles, Matthew, Acts, and Revelation, these are all examples of repentance in the scriptures. Comprehensive but not exhaustive. This is applicable to the entire Church of Christ in the United States of America and the entire land to gather as one man if she wants to escape the tremendous judgment coming from the Lord. Let's read Daniel's example. Daniel was a righteous prophet of the Lord who even prophesied of this day today. And we see that in Daniel chapter 12. But let's see what the mighty prophet saw as he repents on behalf of Israel and the sin of the land. And this starting at Daniel chapter 9, verse 3. So I turned to the Lord God and pleaded with him in prayer and petition, in fasting, and in sackcloth and ashes. That's Daniel chapter 9, verse 3. Here is one sentence filled with a number of verbs, actions, that the church needs to pick up and run with today. So I turned. And that is exactly what repentance means. It means to turn away from sin and return to the Lord. Daniel, so I turned to the Lord God. We have another good verb coming up, action, and pleaded with him in prayer and petition. In fasting, we know very few Americans fast, and when they do, it's only when they're sleeping. And fasting, and now is the season to fast for national repentance, that the Lord would open the spiritual eyes and the spiritual ears in the United States of America. It's the Lord's will that not one would perish. In prayer, in petition, in fasting, and in sackcloth and ashes. One sentence, that's verse 3. Fasting in sackcloth and ashes. You can pick up sackcloth quite cheaply at the local Home Depot. It's the stuff that they use to cover the garden. Burlap, I believe it's called. And at the lawn and garden section, if you've got a family of five, and I do, one roll covered everybody, and it's really easy. You just cut a hole out, throw it over, and you have sackcloth to wear. And it's supposed to be uncomfortable, and it's supposed to be ugly, and the idea is it takes away the pride and arrogancy of our flashy clothing. Even the poorest of us have nicer clothing than most of those in the world. And the sackcloth is a reminder of what we really are, and certainly where we stand before the Lord. We do stand as beggars before the Lord. We see it in Daniel's prayer, to plead with him in prayer and petition, pleading with him in prayer and petition. This is our big brother Jesus. No, this is holy God that we have offended, we have sinned against. And so we are pleading with him in prayer and petition, in fasting, and this means fasting, as in no food. I know some can only make one meal. If you can do two or all day, that is preferable. And true fasting, not to strike one's fist and to be irritated and to overexert your servants, but true fasting, the Isaiah 58 fast, where it's a righteous fast unto the Lord. Not one where we are practicing iniquity. So we're fasting iniquity and sin too in this food fast as we are pleading and praying and petitioning. We are fasting in sackcloth and ashes. That's Daniel 9, chapter 9, verse 3. And so Daniel begins to repent. I prayed to the Lord my God and confessed. Lord, the great and awesome God, who keeps his covenant of love with those who love him and keep his commandments. We have sinned and done wrong. Yes, we have sinned and done wrong in the United States of America, Lord. We have been wicked and have rebelled. We have done very unrighteously. We have done wickedly and rebelled against the Lord's word in the United States of America. We have turned away from your commands and laws, concluding verse 5. We have done that, sovereign Lord. We have not listened to your servants, the prophets, who spoke in your name to our kings, our princes, and our ancestors, and to all the people of the land. And sure enough, in verse 6, the Lord has sent his mighty end-time servant and sent the word to the United States of America on multiple occasions. And we have not heard. Our kings and princes and ancestors and all the people of the land would not listen and have not listened to the voice of the Lord. The Lord has risen early and sent servants to America and called for repentance. And now the Lord has sent his mighty end-time servant, and the Lord is commanding national repentance. Verse 7, Lord, you are righteous, but this day we are covered with shame. The people of Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem and all Israel, both near and far, and all the countries where you have scattered us because of our unfaithfulness to you, we and our kings, our princes, and our ancestors are covered with shame, Lord, because we have sinned against you. The Lord our God is merciful and forgiving, even though we have rebelled against him. We have not obeyed the Lord our God or kept the laws he gave us through his servants, the prophets. I want to remind the precious listener that Jesus came not to destroy the law, but to fulfill the law. But the Lord gave through his servants and prophets. All Israel and all United States has transgressed your law and turned away, refusing to obey you. Then Daniel goes on, that's verse 11. Daniel goes on, we're running short on time to run through all of it. Do read the rest of the repentance prayer, where Daniel intercedes on behalf of Israel and the people of the Lord and the land for how far they have fallen and sinned and turned away from God. That's one of many repentance prayers throughout the scripture of how one can stand on behalf of the land and how the nation needs to gather as one man and return unto the Lord. The scriptures for Daniel and the references can also be found on the website highwayofholiness.us. That's highwayofholiness.us. You can also write me, I am just L-O-U, Lou, at highwayofholiness.us. And there are a number of good references. All the material is free because freely we have received, and so freely we give. That's the command of the Lord. This is not about ringing the cash register or going down the false path where it has been commercialized. And we've seen that throughout the house of the Lord, all throughout the land of the United States of America. It's an embarrassment. The church has become a marketing machine, a merchandising machine. We have ministers leaving business to start up a church. We have ministers leaving business, high-level businesses, to enter into another corporate business known as the church. It's absolutely embarrassing and humiliating throughout the land. We are greatly ashamed and need to return back to the Lord and repent for merchandising the gospel. Repent for merchandising the blood and the cross. Repent for the false pastors and the false teachers that are pointing the children of the Lord to this world instead of the kingdom of God. So there's a lot of free material on highwayofholiness.us. I also strongly recommend and encourage repentandprepareTheWay.org. That's one word. repentandprepareTheWay.org. That's the Mighty Prophet's website. And there's videos and teachings. And again, it's all free. None of it at cost at all. No marketing, no gimmick, no love offering, no spam, no fooling. Likewise at highwayofholiness.us. Freely we have received, freely we give. The Lord is the one that provides, not the marketing program, not the business office. When the church has gone into a business corporate structure, it looks just like the world, and oftentimes is even more unrighteous in her practices than the world, even her business practices, where deceit now rules and reigns supreme in the house of the Lord. As we heard from the Mighty Prophet, right on the money, the church is entirely apostate. Who the church today and couldn't find something to buy in the house of the Lord? Who goes to a church anywhere in the United States, be honest, and can't find something to buy? Yet, did we not see Christ beat them out of the marketplace, beat them out of the outer court when they turned it into a marketplace? Isn't that what Christ did? He created a whip and beat out the money changers and those that were selling the goats and the turtle doves for holy things, you know, for sacrifice. Got to bring that up to the altar in the afternoon, so I need to go and change it, and I'm not going to worry about bringing it up from the farm. I'll just pick it up at the outer court of the Lord. It was habit. It was custom. It looked efficient. It looked very business friendly. Oh, I don't have to worry about this. Just bring a couple of coin with me, and I've got my sacrifice right there before I enter into the temple itself, right there in the outer temple. Christ beat them out. But I bet there's not a listener anywhere in the United States that didn't go to church and couldn't find something to buy, whether a book, a pamphlet, a DVD, a tape, the holy water maybe, a candle, something they couldn't merchandise in the house of the Lord. The very same thing that Christ beat them out of the outer temple for. That's how far the house of God has fallen in the United States of America. We do it shamelessly. We market the blood and the gospel shamelessly in the house of the Lord. And the pastors manipulate, wheedle, and witchcraft their way to raise more money to make certain they get the tithe and more, for they're not trusting in the Lord and the Lord's work, because it is the Lord's work, it is the children of the Lord. Now they're trusting in their own flesh and in sin for provision, but it's the Lord that provides for his ministry, for it is his work, and they are his children. And the Lord Jesus prayed, and I agree with him, that the Lord of the harvest, because it is so great, would send more laborers into the harvest. Because the ones that we have now, they're not even laboring for the harvest of the Lord. They're laboring for a financial harvest. They're actually harvesting hell. That's how far we have collapsed. That's why the Lord is calling for national repentance, lest tremendous judgment come upon the land of the United States of America, a country that has been blessed from her inception, where you throw a seed in the ground and it grows. If you needed oil, it came out of the ground. If you needed fish, you pulled out buckets out of the rivers. Here in the D.C. area in Maryland, they had whole island of oysters to harvest. So great were the abundance of wildlife and food. It was dangerous for shipping, and they would be sunk on the piles of shells of the mussel and oysters in the United States of America, all throughout the land, a land that has been very, very blessed by the Lord and now has grown fat in sin, and certainly fat in addiction and fat in the flesh. We see it at the altar of the Lord, where the ministers are corpulent. Some are outright obese. The sins of the flesh in the house of the Lord. Some sins go before and some trail behind. And these are so far in advance, the pagans see them coming from miles away. And the Lord is calling for the house of the Lord and for the United States for national repentance and the gather as one man. That's the resources that are available for repentance on highwayofholiness.us, our home website. There's also some radio broadcast there too, and a lot of other good material. Also, the national press release is calling for national repentance, and there is also a weekly repentance call that we hold, and where the pastors of the United States gather for national repentance, and it's a handful that gather from coast to coast in the United States every Thursday at 8, if you're interested in participating and the Lord so leads you. It's at 8 p.m. Eastern Time every Thursday. We recommend that you fast that day and wear sackcloth, at least in the evening hours. Fast most of the day, if not the entire day, on that Thursday. And then we repent for an hour in agreement before the Lord. And we haven't seen thus far 10 United States pastors. We've had handfuls come and handfuls go. And we have had great help and representation from the sovereign nation of Kenya, as an example. But we haven't seen that from the United States pastors. And just as in Sodom and Gomorrah, and Abraham was praying and pleading on behalf of the Lord, that if there were 10 that were righteous, would the Lord spare Sodom and Gomorrah? And the Lord said that he would, but he did not find 10 throughout the entire land of Sodom and Gomorrah. And we know what happened to Sodom and Gomorrah. And so we're praying that the Lord will bring at least 10 from the United States to gather as one man to start, and it's a humble beginning, and that the Lord would then bring the entire nation with that spark for the United States of America, and that we would see that coast to coast and border to border in the United States, that we would see national repentance and everyone gather as one. For surely the Lord's judgment will come to pass, and we heard the flies and the metaphor and the prophetic language, and we know that the flies represent both death oftentimes and Beelzebub, which is the Lord of the flies. And because this country is in such sin and has been in bondage for so long and in agreement with the enemy, it would make a lot of sense that the vision would be one, that the judgment would be one of the black flies. First, the Lord of the flies and Beelzebub that the United States is in agreement with, not the Lord, and that's whom the United States is in bondage to right now, all over the land, even in the house of the Lord. So for this evening, Daniel 9, 3 through 18, Daniel's national repentance and then Nehemiah, Job, Malachi, Chronicles, Matthew 2-3, Matthew 3-2-3-8, Acts 17, and Revelation 2 and Revelation 3. And as promised, if you're listening and you've fallen away from the Lord and you received Christ at one time in your life, now you found yourself in bondage, and like the pig that went back into the mire, you're looking just like the world again. And if you've picked this up because you don't want to see national judgment come into the land of the United States of America, but you don't know the Lord either, the Lord has you in the right place. This is the opportunity to repent. And we'll pray. And we'll pray to the Lord. And we'll also pray for the nation. So let us pray now and return, United States of America. Let us return, fallen church. And let us return to the Lord, those who haven't tasted the goodness of salvation and freedom, freedom from sin in the mighty Holy Spirit. Father God, we come to you as sinners, and we have fallen greatly into sin. But this day, we choose life. This day, we choose Christ to obey your laws and precepts, mighty God. We thank you for the blood of the Lamb that covers all of our sins. And we thank you, mighty God, our Father, for the blood of the Lamb, that precious sacrifice of Lord Jesus, that now we can overcome sin by the power of the mighty Holy Spirit. And I pray, mighty Holy Spirit, fill me anew. I am a new creation in Christ Jesus. We give you all the thanks and praise and glory and honor, Sovereign Lord. And we pray all of this in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Shalom, shalom. And until the next segment, we'll cover the Nakuru End Time Revival and follow up again on the tremendous judgment of the Lord. Please alert and communicate to your pastors and your churches and your congregations and all the children of the Lord that it is time now. The Lord has commanded national repentance to prepare the way for the coming of the Messiah. Shalom, shalom.